We heard the Apostle John tell us today, dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Amen. Dear Christian friends, Nizam was an Afghani soldier who had fought alongside our American troops. But when our administration pulled out of Afghanistan in what the New York Post called a botched evacuation of American troops, the Nizam was left behind. And the Taliban knew about Nizam and had him pegged for death. And so then Nizam did the only thing that he could do. He texted Scott Mann. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann was a highly decorated Green Beret who had fought alongside Nizam for years in Afghanistan. But now he was retired and living 8,000 miles away in Tampa Bay, Florida. Mann called in favors and contracted a crack crew of experts from the special forces, both retired and active military. Together, they hashed a plan to bring Nizam to safety. As soldiers, they knew what "I have your back" means. It means that they will do whatever is necessary to provide and protect for those that are their own. It means that no one is left behind. And so Mann vowed that this would be a one mission for one man. Now, Nizam could not travel with any kind of identification papers because if he was stopped by the Taliban, they would know who he was. And they had known Nizam because he was a hunter of the Taliban. And so if they found him, it would be an immediate execution. So, to get Nizam to the Kabul airport, and if you remember the videos of that day, it was chaotic with crowds. But then to identify Nizam without any identifying papers, a soldier told him a code word that was randomly chosen. He said, "When you get there, shout pineapple, and we'll know that it's you." He shouted pineapple, and it worked. He was saved. And 4 days later, his family shouted pineapple, and then they were saved too. The setting of today's gospel is Thursday of Holy Week. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Jesus is on a rescue mission. It wasn't a rescue mission to save one person. It was a rescue mission to save all of humanity, and that includes you. Today, when we look at Jesus' words in John chapter 15, we see that Jesus chose to call you his friend. Now, many non-Lutherans get this choosing all wrong. They believe that you have to say a certain prayer, that you have to invite Jesus into your heart, that you have to make your decision and accept Jesus as your own. They put the action on you that you are to actively choose Jesus. But that's exactly wrong, because Scripture clearly teaches us that we are by nature enemies of God. The Bible teaches the mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, that our sinful mindset is an enemy of God. The Bible also teaches that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Jesus laid down his life for us. You did not choose Jesus. You could not choose Jesus. You would not choose Jesus. By your nature as being God's enemies, you hate what God loves, and you love what God hates. You, when you sin, you hide from God just like your first parents hid from God when he was calling to them in the garden. Scott Mann went out of his way to save his friend Nizam. Jesus went from heaven to earth in order to save his enemies. Jesus is the one who is doing the choosing. We have no choice in our faith except to not say no to what Jesus is offering us. We sang just a few minutes ago, "Lord, 'tis not that I did choose you, that I know could never be. For this heart would still refuse you had your grace not chosen me. You learned from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Maybe it was a long time ago, what he wrote in the explanation of the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Jesus goes on to teach, as the Father has loved me, so also have I loved you. Remain in my love. God the Father loved you so much that he sent his Son on a rescue mission. When America abandoned Afghanistan, our administration and our military leaders did not have an effective plan for getting our American troops out of Afghanistan, nor for getting those who were loyal to our cause out of harm's way. God had an effective plan from the very beginning. From the moment that Adam and Eve listened to the enemy and fell into sin, God was right there. And he spoke his promise to the enemy. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The seed of the woman and the only begotten son combined to step down and crush the enemy's head under his bloody heel. Jesus, who is both divine nature and with his human nature in one, laid down his life for those who are enemies by their very nature. Today is the confirmation of our youth. As teens, they have sins that are specific to their age. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Lazy, indifferent, gossipy, vengeful. They roll their eyes. They talk back. They don't listen. Parents and grandparents, you know. But for those of you who are older, you have your sins that are specific to your age. You are lazy, indifferent, vengeful, gossipy. You talk back. You roll your eyes. You don't listen either. Jesus makes it clear. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will endure so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. There's a reason that Scott Mann chose to rescue Nazan. Love. And there's only one reason that Jesus chose to rescue you with your specific sins. Love. But there's been a concept that has been out there for generations. That concept is that it is not manly to love. But men, both young men and older men, that is totally wrong. The most manly thing that you can do is to love. Loving your friends so much that no one is left behind to die. Loving your family so much that you are willing to put yourself between them and danger. Loving your wife so much that you are willing to lay down your life for her. Men and women, boys and girls, you love other people. And hopefully those other people love you back. But Jesus loved this world so much that he laid down his life for people, the majority of whom will reject his love and will refuse to love him in return. And out of all of the billions of people that Jesus chose to love, he chose you to love him back. Jesus chose you in your baptism. When the pastor poured water over your head and spoke God's word into your ears, the Holy Spirit then created saving faith in your heart. The Holy Spirit at that moment ripped you out of Satan's arms and placed you into the nail-scarred hands of your Savior. In a few moments, our confirmands will be standing up here before the Lord's altar. They will be making vows of faithfulness to the Lord who has always been faithful to them. They will be promising to be faithful, even to the point of death, rather than fall away from their baptismal faith that they are confirming on this day. And then they will kneel to receive the Lord's Supper for the very first time. Jesus' broken body combined with the bread. Jesus' shed blood combined with the wine. They will be able to taste and see that the Lord's forgiveness is good. Jesus told his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, because everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Friends. Does Racine Mayor Mason know you? Does Governor Evers know who you are? Does President Biden know your name? The King of Kings knows you. The Lord of Lords knows who you are. The commander of the angelic armies knows your name. The ruler of the universe knows everything about you. And he is working everything out for you here so that you will be with him there. Jesus says, you aren't just a servant in his house. You aren't just merely soldiers in his army. You're much more than that. Jesus calls you his friend. He has taken you from being born his enemies, and through word and sacrament, he has made you reborn to be his friends. Don't overlook that. Don't forget that. That the Son of God calls you his friend. And as your friend, he talks to you in his word. He invites you to talk back to him in your prayers. Have a daily conversation with your best friend. Call upon him in every trouble to pray, praise, and give thanks, to pour out your hearts to him, to lay your burdens on him, to give him your sins, and then he gives you his righteousness in return. Jesus is the best friend that you will ever have. He will never abandon you. He will never forget you. He has your back. No one is left behind. That's why he went on a rescue mission to save you. Jesus demonstrated his manly love by laying down his life for you, and now his love motivates you to love others. As your divine friend loves you, now he wants you to show that love to other people. See, Jesus did not take away your sins so that you can just keep on sinning. The blood of God at Calvary does not give you divine permission to love whatever or whomever you want. It is forgiveness from God himself that Jesus put an end to your sin. It is dead. It is buried. Jesus will never bring it up again. You are his baptized, bloodied, and forgiven people who live in repentance. This is not a fun or pleasant life. It is a life of self-denial. It is a life of carrying your cross. It is a life of putting your family ahead of yourself. It is a life of loving your enemies. It is a life of receiving Jesus' love, a life that flees from sin and then flees to Jesus when you fall into sin. And the world hates this kind of love. But Jesus loves this kind of love because this is the kind of love that he has for you and then you then have for others. Jesus teaches, "This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." And then decades later, Jesus' disciple John, who was in that upper room on Holy Thursday and heard Jesus talking about love, then writes this to his disciples. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us so much, we also should love one another. Operation Pineapple was a great success. It was designed to be one mission to save one man, but it became so much more, and that success maybe was too much because it became an obsession for those involved, eating up family time, impinging on their jobs. There were those who put their businesses on hold. One man who quit his job. Another one who cashed in his kids' college savings in order to provide a safe house. Operation Pineapple ended up saving between 700 to 1,000 people from being killed by the Taliban. It all started with Scott Mann, 8,000 miles away, wanting to save his friend via text. And so whatever the distance is between heaven and earth, that is the distance that Jesus traveled on a rescue mission for humanity, for those who were not his friends, those who were his enemies, because it was the Father's obsession to send his Son on that mission. And Jesus came to save humanity, not with texts, but through his blood, sweat, tears, wounds, his bloody cross, and his dark tomb. And though that rescue mission was to save everyone, I want you to think of it that Jesus came on a rescue mission to save one, you. Don't ever forget that Jesus chose to call you his friend. Amen.